If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
He is saying that the Messiah, the King of Israel, King of the world, would suffer and die. That in and of itself would have caused Messiah watchers to cringe. How could the one who came to rule be persecuted and killed?
This is Wings of the Morning, a program designed to help you soar above the clouds of another day on the wings of faith and prayer. Wings of the Morning is brought to you every Sunday at this time on WDEL under the direction of the Reverend Thomas Lehman, President of Sunday Breakfast Mission, Wilmington, Delaware. And now, here to share the good news of the gospel, Reverend Tom Lehman.
Thank you, Gerald. My friend, as spring comes, some are looking for flowers, but others are checking their brackets. This time of year, some are not so concerned over snow or no snow, cold or warm, brown grass or tulips, but rather, is my team going to the NCAA? And the only seeds are not the ones you plant, but the placements in the bracket. Having married into a college basketball-loving family, we follow all the games. But when it comes to bracket time, we get serious about predicting who might our team play next. The thing about the tournament and brackets, though, is that no one gets them right. Even the experts who study every detail of these teams down to the injury to a calf muscle on the second string forward are shown that they are human and the players are as well, and anyone can excel or blunder on any given game. Things are different, however, when it comes to God and what he predicts. Not a detail is missed when God says that something is going to happen. Well, today on Wings of the Morning, we are going to look at the set of God's brackets for Jesus, the Christ, from Isaiah. Please listen in. But right now, listen to Scott Crepane tell us how Jesus fulfilled all our needs. He is here.
Trusting and as innocent as a child, full of life, he was here. He was here. He was here. A human voice to teach us, a healing hand to reach us where we are. Come so far, he was here. He was here in our suffering, in our loss. He was here. He was carrying our cross. He was real, and he could feel. He was here. Almighty God above us, he is love, let us love, he is here. suffering and our loss, He is here. He is carrying our cross. He is real, and He can feel. He is here.
In the Bible, the writings of the prophet Isaiah are some of the most provocative. But what he says about the Messiah should shock your socks off when you compare it to what actually happened to Jesus. In chapter 53, he says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death." In this short passage, Isaiah has sure set up a challenging bracket for the Messiah. In the first place, he is saying that the Messiah, the King of Israel, King of the world, would suffer and die. That in and of itself would have caused Messiah watchers to just cringe. How could the one who came to rule be persecuted and killed? And yet that was exactly what happened to Jesus. As Isaiah puts it, "Who has believed our message?" It's unbelievable, this suffering Messiah. But as Isaiah says again, the Messiah grows up and brings his message and mission in a hostile environment. As one person put it, so Jesus's message was not received, not believed. It says in John, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. People, even people of his own hometown, Nazareth, let alone Jerusalem, rejected him. Isaiah says that this Messiah would have no beauty or majesty. But shouldn't a king like the Messiah have majesty? Isaiah says no. And Jesus, as the fulfillment, was not, even after all his miracles, seen with majesty or beautiful. To the leaders, he was an eyesore, to be despised, just as Isaiah says. In fact, from Nazareth to Jerusalem, time and time again, they wanted to beat him, stone him, kill him, not crown him. As Jesus entered Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, as it's now become known, the leaders told him to stop his followers from shouting the Messianic Psalm 118, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But Jesus told them that if they did not shout, the rocks would gain voices and cry out themselves. Just before these verses in Isaiah 53, up in Isaiah 52, Isaiah says that the Messiah's appearance would be disfigured, that is, marred beyond human likeness. Well, the Gospels tell us that Jesus was beaten in the face multiple times by guards of the high priest, guards of Pilate, even guards of Herod. Then his body was torn apart by flogging with leather straps holding lead balls and bones that together would tear the flesh and cause hemorrhaging. In other words, he was disfigured from head to toe. Then it says he was to be pierced. Remember that phrase? He was to be pierced. And Jesus was. In fact, he was crucified. And then he was pierced with a spear. He was to be buried with the rich, Isaiah says. And the unused tomb of the rich Arimathean, Joseph, was his burial place. Isaiah also says, in that same passage in Isaiah 53, that like a lamb led to the slaughter, he would open not his mouth. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't resist his arrest, his trial, or his execution. In quiet submission, he carried his cross and carried our sins. You know, even the high priest, it's recorded in speaking of Jesus, said it would be better that one die for the sake of the many, that for the sake of the whole nation. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus died for all of us, for all our sakes. But there is another amazing bracket-breaking prediction that Isaiah throws in that should mess it all up. He says, and I quote, "After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." Did you catch that? Isaiah says that the Messiah will suffer and die, but then against all experience, all logic, he will rise to new life. He will see the light of life. Isaiah predicted the resurrection of Christ. Who in their right mind would say that? And yet, the resurrection of Jesus is one of the most evidentiarily proven events of history, even though in our modern mind we cannot accept such a miracle. But Isaiah's bracket is yet intact. Jesus did rise from the dead. The Bible says, my friend, that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that fact, that he rose from the dead, that you will experience forgiveness of your sins and receive new life. So why don't you just trust him right now? Why don't you pray this with me? Dear Jesus, it is extraordinary how you fulfilled all the prophecies of being the Messiah. Please forgive me for not believing in you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, my friend, if you prayed that prayer, please send me an email at our website at sundaybreakfastmission.org. I want to send you something to help you in your new life, and may God richly bless you.
You've been listening to Wings of the Morning with Reverend Tom Lehman on 1150 AM WDEL and WDEL.com. You're invited to share in this ministry by addressing your communications to Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. That's Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. And listen again next week at this same time for another broadcast of Wings of the Morning.